Please be seated. We come to this season of Advent and also to this call to be awake. And we can go a lot of places with that. This reading that we have just heard, though, I think before we can get to the call for wakefulness, can hit us in different places. And I want to check in if that we can move well into that. There are at least three things you could be thinking about when you hear this unexpected coming and the days of Noah, and especially this business about two in the field and one is taken and the other is left, and two grinding meal and one is taken and another is left. N.T. Wright says we should be thinking about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, but I'm going to guess that none of us went there first. So be honest, don't judge yourself, but just what came first in your mind if you caught it, and some at the 8 o'clock said, I didn't catch anything, so if you didn't catch anything, that's okay. But how many thought of the second coming of Christ? Hands up. Few, yeah, okay. You thought of, a day in the distance at some point. Some think it's sooner than later, whatever we think of that, of a day when God would... Noah read it and he said, when God comes, this is how it will be. How many thought of what's often called the rapture? Loretta, hands up. Sort of one, yeah. And that's actually where my mind goes first, because there was a song I grew up with, and there was the book series out, the media, Left Behind series, and we, I think that idea is there. It's not one that we spend too much time on theologically. If you want some fun some afternoon, go to the Wikipedia page about the rapture, and there is like diagrams about different thoughts and beliefs about, and it comes from a few passages in Thessalonians, and this one as well, this sense that, I'll just say it plainly, the believers are taken away, and there is a time of tribulation for those who are left, and there's debate about the timing and all of that. The sense in the broader, what I have trouble with that is it's tied into a separateness in our understanding of God and a separateness in heaven and earth. And this sense of being taken away, what God is bringing to fulfillment. So I'm drawn more to the image that I read more deeply through the scriptures of the whole thing being brought together. And we had our reading from Isaiah, which speaks about this deepening harmony that we hope for in our world, and this coming together of all things. Not a separating, not a pulling apart, but a bringing together. So our minds might go to the rapture. I'd encourage you to go to the next step and think, I'm not sure that's the good news that we are given. So, but it's we have to acknowledge that that's where our mind goes, And that's, the media is out there and the analogies. And so we move on with the passage. And there are two elements that I think are fairly clear within the passage. There is the call to wakefulness, as we had in Romans as well. Be awake. And this is what wakefulness looks like, Paul writes in Romans. And then we also have this almost more central piece, which is the reality of surprise, that we will not know. If anyone comes to you and says, I know the date that this will happen, whether we think of that as the siege of the temple in 70 AD, whether we think of the coming of Christ, if anyone comes and says, I know the date and time, say, that's very nice. Jesus himself said, nobody knows save the Father. And this is the word that we cling to. If we ever feel that our world is come to a point, we think the only option is utter destruction and God will come, we cannot even take that as proof that something is coming or what we'll look forward to. Anglicans are famous for saying, we believe in this, but we won't get into specifics. We believe in the second coming. We believe that a day will come where all will be seen as it is. We believe in a day where those things that have been terrible in our world will be seen for being terrible. We will see the things in our own life that we thought were great and made us very proud, but were just ash and mirrors, and we will see them as that. We will also see the things that were small and unseen, but were beautiful and very good. We will see those brought into their full light. We believe in that day. We believe in a day with God where all those things will be brought together. But Anglicans are famous for not getting into the details of when or what that will look like or how it will work. Similarly to how we approach the Eucharist, that we believe God is present, but we won't get into the debates about exactly how that is, as there are in the church at different times. And so we hold on to this day, and we hold that it will be a surprise. We might think of the surprise as being about that day. We might think of the surprise of 70 AD and the siege of the temple. We might also think of the surprise we encounter in our daily life and the word from God to say, be awake, be alert to what God is doing in your day, and it is always a surprise. We wake up in the morning, and I don't know if you're like me, you kind of look ahead in the day and you think there's this coming and this coming and this coming, but the truth is that anything can come. Whether it is a bird that lands outside our window and we are overcome with the beauty of how that bird landed and is doing its life in the world. It might be a conversation we have in Safeway that undoes our day, or some news we receive that shakes us to our core. And we did not expect any of it. And we did not know it was coming. We could not plan for it. And there is this call through the scriptures to be awake, to be alert to what God is doing. We often say to pray in the morning so that it's like muscle memory, so that you can be alert to these things. If you spend some time in the morning thinking about what God has done the day before, you will be more cued to what God is doing in the day to come. So that's, you know, maybe add that to your planning as you're looking ahead with the things. Look back also to see what has God done in the last 24 hours, and it might have something to do with what is coming. To be alert to those surprises that will come. We pray, we have this big, long Anglican litany that we pray at Ash Wednesday, and part of it is a prayer to save us from sudden death. It gets into that level of things. We acknowledge in our funeral service that there is this frailty that we encounter in our life, that what we think is strong can be undone. On the ride home, I often think I visit with someone who is very old, in their hundreds, older than you, Jim, you know, and they're saying, you know, I don't know why I'm still here. And I think, isn't it amazing that here is someone, you know, over 100 years, and they don't know how they survived this long, and the truth is either one of us could be driving home and our end would come. And I find it a gift of being a pastor to engage that reality in the work of funerals, in this work of we don't know what the day will bring. And so we entrust ourselves to God and walk in that way. The second admonition of the passage is to be awake. And we had a version of that in Romans of what he means of that, of sort of living life in the light, not being a part of these things, drunkenness, debauchery, you know, living according to these ways that I think we know, you know, stay away from those things because they don't help. Our gospel reading, I think, answers that question, what is wakefulness, in a few passages later. What is wakefulness? Jesus goes on to describe an image in a vineyard and describing how this master planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, a watchtower, and then went away on a journey and left servants in charge of the vineyard. We've been talking about stewardship, and this is the biblical image, you know, that we care for what is there. And he says, blessed is the servant who is found still at work. There is the image of wakefulness, that we be found still at work, that we be found as someone who is living into that image of being a good and faithful servant that we hear in Matthew 25, just the next chapter. This sense that being awake is to apply ourselves to the work of God in the world. If we want to alert ourselves to God's presence, we go and do the work of God. And Matthew 25 opens that up for us and says, what else is it but feeding the hungry, bringing water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those who are in prison, caring for the sick. These are windows for us into the work that God is inviting us to do. And so if you wish to be awake, it is a call on some level to put our nose to the grindstone. If you wish to be awake, it is a call, as we hear Jesus say, don't worry about the days and the times. Don't worry about how this will pan out in the future. Don't worry if you feel that our world is going effectively to hell in a handbasket. Don't worry about these things bubbling up, but be drawn back to the work that you have set before you. In the vineyard of God, what is the peace that you have been given to care for? A bad and faithless servant would be given a task in one corner of the vineyard and would spend his time doing some other work elsewhere. You know, one is called to tend the wine press and, you know, he's off pruning the vines. You know, that is a faithless servant. No, you were given this work to do. Live within that. You know, that is where your gifting is. That is where your passion truly lies. Don't do this because it gets more renown. Do the work that is given. Do the simple work. Do the thing that you are called to do and live into. And we trust that as each of us do this is a vision of the world, that as each of us do the work that we are called to do, that we have capacity to do, that we have gifting to do, that God has given us, we find that if the whole world did that, I think about this sometimes, how different a thing it would be. And so we live into it now. We say, well, I will begin doing that good work now. I will begin doing the work that I am called to do, and bringing joy and bringing warmth and bringing food. And I will trust the big picture to God and walk well in that place. Advent is a good time to explore that. Advent is a good time to do that self-reflection, to dream about what your hope for the world is, to look head on at the news that we hear and the global things that we face in the world, the difficulties that we face, and to hear also God's voice, you know, encouraging us to do just this work. There is a GIA event happening this Wednesday. GIA is an organizing group in the city. They are gathering to look at living wages in the city. If you are drawn to work, to do that work, I will tell you where you can go, and they're inviting city leaders to come and do that work. We have Loretta, who has been organizing people around the Simple Supper, and I was so enjoying that gathering Friday night of neighbors coming together, and this has been a work that she has felt called to do and live within it, and many people, you know, roost in the branches of that work. We have Dan with us, and, you know, there are a few people still going back and saying, I want to listen to that sermon. You know, he preached a couple weeks ago, because it really caught me. And I was helping someone, you know, get the electronics this morning so they could hear it again. And this work that is with us. So we do this work that is our passion. I was with at St. Faith's, here is Joyce, you know, feeding there. How many people were at the meal on Friday? Okay. So it was a bit smaller, but 120, sometimes upwards of 200. And Karen Robinson, we've been asked to do hampers for some military families in need. And there's a listing, there's a sheet in the bulletin, a blue sheet, that you can learn about that. And if you feel called to do that simple act of bringing someone a festive meal for that, you know, we have that call in our church this Advent. And so do that work of discerning how God is calling you to be in this place and this time. And I have Neil Gordon's words. He's the outgoing dean of our cathedral. He said, when you get a sense of what God is doing, try and be helpful. You know, you're not going to get it right, but just try. Go for it. You know, do what you can to get in line and do that work that God is calling us to do. So bless you this Advent as you do that work, both in prayer and in self-reflection. Amen.